When a military veteran dies, they're entitled to military honors, and today we're going to meet two men who help ensure this happens on this episode of The Common Good. Hello and welcome to The Common Good, where we showcase the achievements of members of our community that contribute to Southwest Washington and beyond in a positive way. Hello, I'm Stephen Glickman, your host for this episode of The Common Good. My guests today are Brian George, the commander of AMVETS Post 16, and Nick Kindler, second vice commander of AMVETS Post 16 based out of Woodland, Washington. Brian and Nick help ensure that military veterans in our area get the military honors that they have earned and are entitled to receive at their funerals. Welcome to the studio. Thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Steve.
So you are from an organization called AMVET. I had not heard of it before, but I had gotten an email from you guys, and I felt like you guys are doing something worthwhile, and I want to know more about it. So let's start with you, Brian. What is AMVET?
Well, AMVETS is American Veterans. We are American Veterans Department of Washington. We honor veterans who
pass away, for the most part.
When veterans pass away, they're entitled to honorable funeral services, and we present the military honors for them. When the military comes out, they are required to have two people. Sometimes they can bring more, but in order to do the rifle volley, which some people refer to as a 21-gun salute, it's actually called a three-shot volley. And we do the volley, we play taps, we are certified to do the flag folding if the military doesn't show up to do the flag part. Usually when they come, they take care of the flag, and then they ask us to present the rest of it.
Now, active duty military doesn't always have the resources to come out for every veteran's funeral or burial ceremony, or do they usually come out, but they don't always have all the resources they need?
Sometimes they get caught in traffic. Sometimes there's too many funerals for them to be able to handle them all. They come from
It's Fort Lewis.
Oh yeah, it's JBLM.
Joint Base Lewis-McChord.
Now, Nick, how what's your role? I mean, Brian, you're the
commander,
and Nick, you're
second vice commander. Which means I don't do anything.
How did you guys get involved in this?
We're all members of Patriot Guard Riders. Now, if you don't know what Patriot Guard Riders are, it's an organization that was founded in 2005 to shield families of troops killed in action from protesters. There were people, there's a crazy church in Kansas whose theory is that these kids that were getting killed in Iraq and Afghanistan were God's punishment for America's tolerance of gays. Mm-hmm. They hate gays. Anyhow, so they were coming to funerals and doing these horrible things, you know, horrible chants and like. And so a group of veteran bikers in Kansas said, enough of that. So they got together and they had a service, and they shielded the family from these protesters by standing shoulder to shoulder with American flags. They got a little too loud in their protestations, crack off two or three straight by Harley Davidsons. It shuts them right down.
I think that I've heard of your organization figuring out where they're staying and just blocking them in.
We haven't done that. It just we don't touch them. We can't.
Yeah, they're very right.
They've got their leaders are attorneys, and they're very litigious. So we just, you know, just stand there in with our backs to them with the flags. And they've been here once. They threatened to come every time, but they've only been here once. Anyhow, from Patriot Guard Riders, we saw the need for augmenting the military with the full military honors, the three-volley rifle salute and the taps. And so we were borrowing rifles from an American Legion post in Salmon Creek and doing it that way. There was another Legion post that said, wait a minute, you guys aren't authorized by Congress, ergo you can't do that. Oh, okay. So we started AMVETS. Specifically for that, and AMVETS was chartered by Congress in 1944. And it's a big organization. It's a service club like the American Legion and the VFW. But anyhow, we started AMVETS specifically to be able to provide the full military honors for a veteran's funeral. Veterans deserve full military honors. And so if the family asks, then we, or the funeral home, on behalf of the family asks, then we show up. We've done, we have two last week.
Yeah.
Yeah. And anyhow, we do some, we're involved in some other things as well, in the service organization. We're a veteran service organization. But our primary thing is augmenting the military with military honors.
Now, I'm just old enough that I really remember the tail end of the Vietnam War.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not only was it a contentious war, but it was the first time that American service members and veterans were not shown the proper respect.
Tell me about it. I'm a Vietnam veteran.
So the lesson to learn is there's the policy and there's the people who are serving.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to attack the policy, but you don't attack the people.
Right.
And sometimes what you found, especially in Vietnam, is that some of the veterans were like, yes, the policy's bad. We were there. We know.
Yeah.
But that's another reason, all the more, these Americans who are trying to serve their country, trying to honor their country. And so if you disagree with what they did, that's a separate thing from the fact that they have signed up mm-hmm. to serve their country.
Right, right.
So let's say you have somebody, anytime someone is active duty military, there's a risk. So you have people who die, not necessarily in combat or in an action, but they could be training.
Yeah, we've had several died in trading accidents.
So someone passes away, they're from this area. How do you find, are you contacted by the armed forces and they say somebody passed away? Are you contacted by families? I mean, how does this roll out?
We're contacted generally by the funeral home
mm-hmm.
on behalf of the family. The funeral director, one is a KIA, killed in action. The family is distraught.
Mm-hmm.
They've just lost their 19, 20-year-old son. And so the funeral director is very critical in this situation to handle everything with the family, to let the family know what their rights are and so forth, and then tell the family about PGR. And actually with the KIA, they'll get full military honors from the military. In our case, it's veterans that are buried outside of Willamette National Cemetery, actually in Clark County for the most part, that have passed. We've had 100-year-old veterans from World War II. In fact, we still got a couple. We just recently did a World War II vet, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So anyhow, again, like as Brian said, the military has to send at least two people for the veteran. And their primary job is to fold the American flag. It's on draping the casket. Or in the case, we're getting more and more cremains. People are being cremated more and more. So, but they get a flag, and mm-hmm. the military will unfold the flag and then refold it and present it to the next of kin. And they have the two, and then so they're lacking the rest of the military honors, which is the rifle volleys, the three rifle volleys, and oftentimes taps.
The rifle volleys, the three volleys. Mm-hmm. Now, my grandfather was a World War I veteran.
Oh, wow.
I remember specifically that when he passed away, that we were provided with a full-size, really nice flag that covered the casket. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. My brother claimed it, and he still has that flag.
Wonderful.
My father bravely served in California during the Korean War,
mm-hmm.
did a stint in Germany, because he wanted to be right there on the front lines. And he passed away, and he passed away during COVID, and he was cremated, and we still haven't done anything with it. But it's not like, I would expect a volley. Thought my father's a veteran, maybe he'll get a flag. But, you don't think of somebody who maybe did, was served in the military for 4 years in the mid-80s, didn't really go anywhere. They're a veteran, so it's not like they're going to get necessarily like the full hero treatment
sure.
in a parade, but they are entitled to certain burial rights.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where you guys come in, is you help out with that.
Right. Well, We augment the military. They provide the flag folding. That's their obligation, and basically that's it. They can play taps at times.
Mm-hmm.
They will play taps at times, but if they send two people and their job is to fold the flag, then one's got to put the flag down and go get the bugle and play the taps. Well, we can do that ourselves. We have a bugle with us and somebody that can play the taps. So, like I said, every veteran is entitled to full military honors, like your father was entitled to the full package. And did he get the flag?
The thing about it was, because it happened during COVID, and because my mother and my brother and I live in different places, I think that my mother just still has the ashes. She's intending to have the ashes interred at a local military cemetery, but we haven't done anything with it.
Over yet. At the cemetery over on Fourth Plain?
Oh, this is in Florida.
So okay.
Totally different. But, I know from experience that I never thought even of my grandfather. He wasn't a hero. He wasn't he didn't storm up a hill. But I knew that he was entitled to certain honors. And
right.
I knew that my father also was, entitled to those honors. We just haven't really availed ourselves of that.
Right. When your mother goes to inter him, if he's going to be at a national cemetery, chances are probably 100% he'll get the full military honors at that time.
Yeah.
Especially if it's a national cemetery.
People don't like to think about death. But when there are people who are, there's doulas, there's hospice workers, there's a whole thing from before someone passes away to afterwards that really are part of a process that helps families.
Hmm.
I imagine that if I lost a loved one, even if it was not like a tragedy, it was just, there's something about having that rite, having a ritual to help honor the person and acknowledge their passing is really, really important.
And that's a conversation that families need to have with their loved ones, because a lot of families don't realize what the veteran is entitled to. And if they don't have those conversations with their families, they don't know what the veteran is wanting for a ceremony and what he's entitled to. And there's also some things that we support that we could talk about,
other programs we're involved with. Yeah. It's not just rifles.
I'm Stephen Glickman, host of this episode of The Common Good on KXRW Vancouver, 99.9 FM. My guests today are Brian George, the commander of AMVETS Post 16, and Nick Kindler, second vice commander of AMVETS Post 16. We've been talking about what proper military honors at funerals look like and how AMVETS ensure veterans get those honors. When we return, we'll talk about how they got involved with AMVETS.
La programación de KXRW es posible gracias a socios como Buckley and Associates. Abogados que ayudan a víctimas lesionados a obtener la justicia que merecen por más de 40 años. Con licencia en el estado de Washington. Su equipo diverso habla más de 7 idiomas, haciendo que tus derechos sean más accesibles y fáciles de entender. Conoce más en BuckleyLaw.net. Repito, BuckleyLaw.net. Buckley and Associates. Hablan tu idioma.
Support for KXRW comes from Kindred Vancouver in downtown Vancouver, Washington. Kindred is a community-focused general store offering bulk refillery options and supplies for sustainable, do-it-yourself living. With a focus on reducing waste and supporting clean, mindful lifestyles, Kindred helps individuals incorporate low-impact choices into daily life. More information is at kindredvancouver.com.
Welcome back to The Common Good on KXRW Vancouver, 99.9 FM. I'm your host, Stephen Glickman, and my guests today are Brian George, the commander of AMVETS Post 16, and Nick Kindler, second vice commander of AMVETS Post 16. Before the break, we talked about what proper military honors at funerals look like and how AMVETS ensure veterans get those honors. As our conversation continues, we talk about how Brian and Nick got involved with AMVETS.
Well, before the break, we were talking about, what you guys do. But now the question is, how did you guys get involved with this? So, Brian, let's start with you. How did you get involved? Because now you're like the commander.
Correct. Mine was pretty easy. I was actually at a store getting some patches,
sewn onto my vest and ran into a member that was in the AMVETS post. He's actually our first vice commander, Milt Hardin. And he had given me the flyers for it, and I came to check it out. I really hadn't ever thought about being a part of a VSO, but it just clicked all the boxes of what I wanted to do and try to give back. And
VSO is a veteran service organization?
Correct.
So this kind of just, it sounds as though once you saw that this was something that was done, you were like, this is the kind of thing I would want to do.
Right.
And how about you, Nick?
I was in Patriot Guard Riders, very active in PGR, and was around when they started the post, because I was involved in the rifles with the Patriot Guard until we got shut down. And then they started AMVETS, and I missed the first couple of meetings, but then the inaugural meeting, and then one or two after that. And my best friend was one of the originals, if you will. And he talked me into coming in and checking it out. So I came and said, I like this.
So you have Patriot Guard riders that are making sure that funerals are not disrupted.
Right.
You know, that they're respected and not disrupted. And then there's a group that's actually helping the ritual be done correctly and with the most honor. So there's an overlap.
Correct.
There is an overlap. Like I said, we're all Patriot Guard riders. I think everybody in AMVETS is, isn't there? Aren't they?
In our post, yeah.
In our post, that is. I've been with Patriot Guard PGR since 2006, so I've had 19 years in it. And I've been very active that whole time. You know, I was really having a hard time before, and then I joined PGR and met like-minded veterans, you know, people with common experiences as me, and it was like a brotherhood. But we have, you know, brotherhood, sisterhood. But it was it saved my life, quite frankly. But anyhow, after Afghanistan and Iraq wound down, we have a lot of people that said, well, we should just be here for KIAs, killed in action. And they dropped out. But you know, the veterans' families started wanting us to provide the flag lines just to honor their veteran. And we did. Willamette National Cemetery was like my second home for a long time when I lived in Oregon.
So you kind of mentioned this is it's a little bit therapeutic. It really helps you process.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the trauma you may have experienced that you were active duty or combat veteran.
Yes,
Nick. So how about you, Brian? What was your service background?
I was in the Navy. I was a welder, and I did firefighting on board ship. I was in. My entire enlistment was during peacetime. I was in from 85 to 88.
What kind of ships were you on? Were you on aircraft carriers, destroyers?
I was on a guided missile destroyer.
Wow. That's aircraft carriers are ridiculously huge ships, but how big is that ship?
If I remember correctly, it was 350 feet long, and there was 327 people on board.
Yeah. Just to give you an idea, I mean, that's a huge ship, but I mean, like the Eisenhower, for instance, I think has like 3,000 personnel, which is a floating city.
Well, we have a guy was what they call a plank holder on the Nimitz, and a plank holder is the very first crew on a ship when it's commissioned. So then when they finally put to sea, he was out there for the sea trials and all that. But yeah, he's a very proud plank holder on the Nimitz.
You know, the thing is that, you know, it makes anybody who's killed in action it's obviously they need to have the most honorable ritual for their reflect their death.
And they get it.
In service. But when you put on the uniform, you are affirming your commitment to this country, and mm-hmm. there's a certain floor that you should never have anybody descend below in terms of what they get for benefits.
Exactly.
Something I would like to add with PGR is you don't have to be a veteran to be a Patriot Guard rider.
That's true.
You just have to be respectful and honorable of the fallen.
Yeah, there's no meetings. There's no dues. With AMVETS, we have meetings and we have dues. Well, I'm a lifetime member, so I paid my dues. I don't have to pay the annual dues anymore.
Yeah, our post has, I believe, 22 members. It started with 11, and I believe 98% of our membership is lifetime members.
And it seems as though it's a very satisfying thing to do, because you're making sure that every person that you can help go out with honors goes out with honors. That has got to be somewhat affirming of your service.
that, you know, my service mattered. You know, I did, my service mattered. This person's service mattered. Service matters.
Correct.
Well, one thing with our AmVets post is, you know, we're looking for new members always. And one of the reasons we're looking for new members is a bunch of us, I'm 75, and we have a couple that are pushing 80, and then there's a batch of us that are in our 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not getting any younger, but we really would like to see some younger people come in because they're going to need to take over. Like Brian is a kid compared to a lot of us.
I'm 57, and you're, I think, a kid. I'm the second youngest person in our post.
And you're, like you said, you know, this is a chance where people can come in, they can talk about their service. There's a lot of peacetime service that's still pretty rattling. Yeah, yeah. Being in the military is not easy. Like the easiest day can, for, you know, if you're in a military theater, if you're in a forward area, your easiest day is harder than most people's hardest days.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the thing about military service is that, especially for people who join and serve, this isn't just like military contractors, not military industrial complexes, that people who serve, they're keeping continuity, they're making sure that there's a watch to keep our country safe, which is a lot, very important all over the world. And it's a continuity in terms of keeping military knowledge going.
Right.
You know, like you could have a 20-year period and a war starts in the 18th year of that period. And the people who go to war have to learn from the people who weren't at war because they kept continuity of the training, the knowledge. And there's still innovation and there's still, you know, there's still a need for the military to be a strong organization at all times.
Yeah, well, as you say, and then when I was in basic training at Fort Lewis, not all of our drill sergeants were Vietnam vets. We had some that were Vietnam vets, but my my drill sergeant wasn't, Sergeant Bundage. And but he wasn't a Vietnam vet, but you know, he knew what he was talking about and trained us up right.
And that's just, you know, it's, I'd say it by this point, like the idea of, you know, military service is hardly a fashionable thing.
Right.
It's, you know, it's not like the kids are running out. They'd rather run around and be like 6'7", you know, whatever. But there is something to be said for making sure that this country is ready for anything.
Oh, yeah.
And if you really take it seriously, you care about who is giving the orders.
Right.
And that's a separate thing. That's politics.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, the same way that there's somebody who's in charge of making sure that, you know, when you flush your toilet, the water goes somewhere, there are people who have to make sure that this country is ready to defend itself and others as necessary.
Oh, true. How true.
And there is a few programs that the AmVet supports. For example, Alaska Airlines does a fallen soldier cart that Patriot Guard riders will escort that cart to wherever the cart is going to. The backstory on that is that Alaska Airlines takes a cart, puts the different branches of the service on it, and the only use for it is to haul the remains of a fallen soldier. And they've done 17 so far to different airports.
As far away as what, Nashville or D.C.? I think
they did Tennessee. Last year was to Boise.
Yeah.
In July, we've got Salt Lake City coming. The other program that we're passionate about, we work with the Daughters of the American Revolution. They research the cemeteries to find veterans that were never given their honors or were buried not knowing that they were veterans. For example, there's a pauper cemetery here in Vancouver that there's lots of veterans that are buried in that cemetery that they never got their honors.
Yeah, it is surprising how important it is to do something like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, even families, you know, you might have somebody in like their, you know, their uncle was, you know, put in a pauper cemetery, and all of a sudden they're like, wow, this really kind of closes the loop, and it really makes me feel better about everything.
Right.
Well, there's two things there. We worked with them on Brush Prairie Cemetery. There are veterans' graves there that weren't marked, and we worked with them on how to get markers for these veterans. And we paid for two of them. We paid half of two of them because the VA didn't recognize them, but they had served, and we had their discharge papers. So we paid for their markers. And, of course, we rendered honors for every one of them. With the pauper cemetery, it's another story. Somebody took all of the grave markers out.
Oh.
So we'll never know exactly where the veterans are. I think there's, what, 18 veterans in there?
Yeah, at last count, they came up with 18.
Yeah, 18 veterans. So apparently what I can see us doing is just doing a full military honors for en masse, if you will.
Yeah, well, I mean, you guys' work kind of is never going to be done.
No.
Correct. It's the price of freedom.
Correct.
You know. So, hey.
We talk about our toy drive also. We're doing that that's in cooperation with Alaska Airlines. And then we're doing also, there's a restaurant in Woodland that has a Christmas tree, and they put kids' names on the tree. For you grab a name and you get the kid a present. And we've allocated, what, $1,000 for that one?
Correct, at the Fat Moose.
It's at the Fat Moose in Woodland. And so we've allocated $1,000 to grab a bunch of those slips and get toys for those kids.
Well, I think that the work that you guys are doing is really critical and really great, and it's actually wonderful to hear how it just kind of expands out. You know, can do more. If you guys can do more, you do more.
Well, we did on Veterans Day, we did a program at University Village, which is a retirement center, retirement complex, and a lot of veterans there. And so we did a ceremony honoring all the vets that were there, branch by branch. And there's a lot of other things that we're involved in, but our primary job is the honors, military honors, but we branch out into doing a lot of other. And the honor chair. We've got a chair that's just like a theater chair that we have a POWMIA draped over it that we'll set up in various places with a velvet rope around it and a plaque that describes what it is. It's POWMIA, honoring prisoners of war and missing in action. And
it symbolizes that they would have a seat when they came home.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there, in any kind of conflict, even in peacetime, people go missing.
Right.
So which is very unsettling. So it's great to just have that honor.
Oh, yeah.
Well, thanks for coming in and talking about all this stuff. It was hopefully this is going to be very eye-opening for the listeners, and hopefully it'll get you some people who want to join up.
Yeah. Our email address is amvetswa16@outlook.com. And we meet the first Tuesday of every month at the VFW Hall in Woodland at 434 Davidson. And we'd love to have more people.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah, like you said, a lot of us are getting old and unsteady.
You've been listening today to The Common Good on KXRW Vancouver 99.9 FM. I've been your host, Stephen Glickman. I'd like to thank my guests today, Brian George and Nick Kindler, for helping educate us about this important service for our veterans. To find out more about AMVETS Post 16 and get involved, you can email amvetswa16@outlook.com. They meet the first Tuesday of every month at the VFW in Woodland, Washington. Programming like this is made possible by your generous support. If you'd like to support this program and others like it, please visit us on the web at kxrw.fm, and there you'll find the big donate button. Together, we're discovering Vancouver's voice. On behalf of show creator and producer Joe Clemens and all the volunteers and supporters who make this program possible, I'm host Stephen Glickman, and I want to thank you for listening to The Common Good. Take care.